We'll continue our Freedom Friday series this morning. Alan Cranston joins us this morning, as Alan is a Navy veteran. Thanks for coming in.
Well, my pleasure. Glad to be here, Jim.
You grew up here in the area.
Yes, I did. In fact, I graduated from Lank High School in 1956, quite a few years ago.
A few years ago. Yeah, it was. Well, you were a Navy guy, and you enlisted in the Navy.
Yes, when I was 17 years old, I graduated, and to say May and August, I thought, well, I want to see the world.
Mm-hmm.
How can I do that? At a low cost, I'm going to join the Navy.
Yeah.
So at 17 years old, I enlisted.
Was that a tough decision?
Very easy. Very easy. You know, when you're 17, you want to find things, look for things. And that was my ambition, to get out of Marnie and see the world.
Is there a military history in your family?
Yes, my dad and uncles all were in World War II. Yes, indeed.
So you got a lot of support for that decision, then.
Yeah, family supported me all the way. In fact, my mother had to sign my papers because I was underage.
Well, talk a little bit about that first trip in, then. I'm sure you heard all the stories from your relatives who served. Maybe they were truthful. Maybe they, you know, maybe they were trying to egg you a little bit. But what was it like for you when you first got there?
Well, when I first got there, of course, it would be boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little skeptical of boot camp, but as I got into the first week, I thought, this is a snap. All I got to do is tell me what they tell me to do and keep my mouth shut. So it made it real easy for me. It was 12 weeks of boot camp out in San Diego, California. Nice weather, very strenuous, but very exciting. Every day was different. Yeah, I loved it.
This was your first time away from home, though?
First time away from home, yeah.
How was
and,
that?
Well, you're so busy, you didn't think about home. They kept you busy.
That's part of their indoctrination into the
sure
process.
Sure is.
Did you find boot camp to be difficult, or was it about what you expected?
No, I found boot camp not even to be a challenge. We had a lot of testing, of course, with Iowa High School behind me. I had no problem with their tests or anything, and I was in good shape by playing football for the Atlantic Trojans.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I enjoyed it, and it was easy for me.
Yeah, very good. Well, after you got through boot camp, then all of a sudden life changes again. You're going to get assignments and things. Where'd you end up?
Well, at boot camp, my first orders was to Norman, Oklahoma. I got classified in boot camp as Aviation Navy. They said, Al, we got things called jet airplanes, and we want you Iowa boys to maintain the electronic systems. So we're going to designate you as Aviation Electronic Technician. Be going to Norman, Oklahoma for about 4 weeks for aviation fundamental school, then on to MIP or Millington, Tennessee for electronic school about 36 weeks. Then you'll get your first set of real orders.
Did you have an idea? Did you have kind of a preconceived idea of what you thought you might want to get into when you joined?
I thought it'd be electronics. My brother was in the Navy. He was on ships. He was a fire control technician. And Dick had wrote back and said, get into electronics. That was the coming thing.
So you actually kind of got assigned where you wanted to be.
Yes, as far as job description, absolutely.
Doesn't always work that way.
Not always. Not in the Navy.
No, not in the Navy. It is what it is. So you headed off to Oklahoma.
Yes.
For training.
Yes, and that was about 4 weeks in Norman, and then on to Tennessee. Then I remember when my first set of orders came in. Now I'm going to go to the fleet, the Navy, instead of a training command. And the chief read off my orders. I was going to Utility Squadron 5, located in Atsugi, Japan. And that's when it hit me. I said, really? Yeah, and I said, well, how long am I going to be there? He said, you're going to be there till you're 21 years old. Oh, my goodness. I asked him if he had anything close to Marnie, and he said, no. So off to Japan I went, and I went to A-26 was the airplane I maintained. The electronic systems in it. Plus, when I saw that twin-engine bomber, I want to fly the radio systems. So I got hurried up and qualified to fly in that airplane as a radio operator. We towed targets for the 7th Fleet, for the ships and for the jet airplanes, give them some practice. This is before fire control really got real accurate. Mm-hmm. And it was quite exciting. Of course, when you're 19 years old, you're fearless, you know, flying at 10,000 feet and then nose that plane over and dive bomb in on those ships, and you can see the guns firing at you. I loved it. Yeah. In fact, that's what made me stay in.
Wow. It sounds like you had quite an experience there as a young guy. I mean, just to be able to get an assignment that you thought was something that you'd be interested in the first place, and then to have that love kind of enhanced a whole lot more once you get a chance to experience it, that's pretty rare.
Absolutely. And then we were stationed in Nasui, Japan. We had detachments in southern Japan. Huh? Went down there for 6 months. We only had 2 airplanes. It was like McHale's Navy. And then we had a small detachment in the Philippines. So I went down to the Philippines for 6 months. So I got to see a lot of the Pacific.
It's a lot different than Marnie, Iowa.
Oh, a lot different.
And you're meeting a lot of, probably more variety of people, a little bit more diverse group of people than what you had grown up with around here in rural Iowa. Was that something that was pretty easy for you to adjust to?
Yeah, that was no problem. I mean, I had friends from, you know, New York, Florida, that I never, you know, didn't know what that was like. I heard their stories, the way they were raised. That's an education all by itself when you're with a bunch of men. We had no women flying in those days. So, yeah, hear their stories and what they've been through in these big cities, you know, bigger than Marnie. Yeah, it was an awakening.
It's interesting. I've always heard over and over again through the years that whether it's active duty or reserves or the Guard, whatever, that when folks find out that soldiers are coming in from, or airmen or seamen or whatever, are coming in from, they're Iowans or they're from the Midwest, that all of a sudden the antenna goes up, because right away folks understand that, ooh, these are good hard workers, these are well-grounded people, these are the guys you want to have next to you when you're in a situation.
That is very true. I saw that throughout the 20 years I spent in the Navy. Yes, Midwest was, they were welcomed, yeah.
You bet. Alan, can you talk about some of the relationships, the friendships and things? Because you build a pretty tight bond a lot of times when you're in these circumstances.
Yes, especially in the second squadron I flew in. Same base, 1964 to 1968. Well, I got married in 63, too, so that second squadron was one that really, where I got close to friends. Flying that airplane, the Constellation was 31 sailors, and you're flying in very dangerous situations. We flew off the coast of North Vietnam. We had 240 missions off of North Vietnam. We were flying against SAM sites and SAMs, and MiGs. 240 missions, twice the MiGs came out to try to get us, but we had good, sharp air crew members that knew what they were going, well-trained, quite an experience. I mean, there were good days, there were bad days, of course. But what a family in that airplane. All 21, we had 22 enlisted men, 9 officers. We all worked together. It was a family. Mm-hmm. And we got things done. We never thought about getting shot down. We had a job to do.
Did you lose any friends or any of the people that you met?
My crew got shot down 5 months after I left. It got shot down in April of 1969. And that, by the way, is the same day that my second daughter was born in Tennessee. So I knew about, in that crew of 31, I had flown with about 22 of them. We also had a plane that crashed in Da Nang, Vietnam. And we lost over 20 of those sailors. So within a year after I left, we lost 40% of our airplanes, 53 crew members. But you never thought about that as you were flying. You know, you had a job to do. Let's get it done. Let's protect those bombers going in. That was our job.
Mm-hmm. When your time was up, how did you know it?
Well, we were getting ready. This is the third squadron I was flying in. Now we're flying a P-3 airplane. We're flying on Russian warships and also the submarines when they're on the surface. Now we're down to 500 feet off the water. On submarines, we're down to 250 feet. You know, I'm 35 years old now, my third squadron. The flying was different. It was very exciting. Sometimes they'd shoot flares at you. But, you know, I thought maybe I should retire and draw a check. We were stationed in Hawaii, of all places, Hawaii, beautiful place. But I thought that was... Well, we were getting ready to deploy out to the Philippines again for about 8 months without seeing my family. And that gets a little rougher as you get older. So it was time to bail out. That was what made my decision was, it's time to go.
As much as a shock it is, though, to go from being a high school kid in Marnie, Iowa, to diving into the Navy, how much of a shock was it from the regimented system that you knew in the Navy to getting back into civilian life after those years?
It was very, very difficult. I think it took us, well, I retired from the Navy in 75, In 1979, we built our house in Marnie, so it took 4 years to make that adjustment. And, of course, I have to take Molly into consideration. My wife, we've been married 50 years. We have two daughters to get into school. Of course, again, I'm, you know, I like the Iowa schools, so Molly went along with it. But we moved, I think, between, I think we lived in about three houses during this four-year period, and it was extremely rough. Because all your, you know, you go from a military life after 20 years, and the next day you don't have that. Yeah, it was rough.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Jackie Pelzer helped us make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
By all means.
That's good to have. Some friends just never go away.
Oh,
they, yeah. They just stick
with you. She's a classic, and she got us playing volleyball, couples volleyball with her and Don. And then, of course, we're at Marnie playing softball, and Molly says, I think I know where we want to stay. Let's stay in Marnie. We'll build a house.
When you find good friends, why leave them?
Oh, absolutely. So we're just glad to be back here.
Yep. You left once to see the world. After you saw the world, you decided to come back where you started.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
In a small town of 120, a lot of people ask me, why did you retire in Marnie? And I think all you got to do is go to Marnie and look around, and you'll find that answer like Molly and I did. Right. We liked a small town. And we've been in big cities, Memphis, San Diego. No, we took Marnie.
As a veteran, are you still active in a lot of things?
Oh, yes. I'm the adjutant for the VFW here. I do, I'm a chaplain at Military Services for our departed veterans, which I, you know, I got to be there for the veterans. Those two organizations, the Color Guard for Atlantic, Color Guard, and the VFW here in Atlantic,
mm-hmm.
and also American Legion in Walnut. Civilian activities, yeah, I'm on city council for Marnie. I'm on a lot of committees for the church, Methodist mm-hmm. Church in Marnie. I like to stay active.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I like to stay so active that I even bailed out of an airplane when I was 75 years old.
Hard to get the military out of the veteran sometimes.
Yes, it is.
Very good. Well, Alan, I appreciate you coming in here today and sharing some of your experiences with us. And as always, we salute your service, too. Thank you for everything that you did.
Well, I want to thank KJAN for asking me to be here. And I'd like to thank all the people in Southwest Iowa for the support they have given veterans.